This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the TroCare College live line this morning, Jack O'Donnell from O'Donnell and Associates. We're talking about the state budget process and some of the key items that might be impacted. Jack, you wrote about this recently, and it includes that cell phone ban in schools, which, you know, seem to be gaining a lot of momentum. A lot of other states have chimed on. Some major school districts across the country have gotten on board with this. Yet here in New York, I don't know. It seems to be going the opposite way. What can you tell us?
Hi, good morning. This phone-free schools ban definitely has a lot of momentum behind it. It's been a really major push from Governor Hochul. She was out again at a school last week talking about it. I think it's developed kind of broad support. A lot of school administrators, a lot of parents groups, some teachers unions. And though it's gotten a little quieter around the legislature, I do think there is broad support for it. And I think there'll be an agreement on it whenever the budget gets done.
What does it look like currently in both the Assembly and the State Senate?
The governor proposed it as a requirement for schools to do, but also with a broad measure of local control. In other words, everybody has to have a policy, but they can have differences. They can be nuanced, and that all school districts needed to adopt a plan by September 1st. August 1st this year to implement it. The governor also proposed $13.5 million in her budget for that. The Senate broadly agreed with that in their Senate One House. The Assembly didn't. Now, they took this out, but they took it out in large part because they like to not have policy in budget. They think the budget should be about how much money is spent and not exactly the policies. So they took it out, but at the same time, they included that $13 million and as well as some additional money. So I think the Assembly is broadly on board. The Senate proposal made it just during instructional times in school. In other words, it wouldn't apply during recess or lunch or other things. The governor's proposal and a lot of these, the policies we've seen come out of experience around the country is that it should be bell to bell from the beginning to the end. So yeah. Some nuances there, but broad agreement.
The Senate modifying the proposal to make it not bell to bell, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of this entire thing? I mean, okay, you can't use class or your cell phone inside the classroom. I feel like every teacher probably has that policy right now. It's just not working.
Well, exactly. I think one of the big pieces of this debate is how do you do a policy that does work? And that's where these broader, you know, bell-to-bell systems, there've been a lot of success in the state and outside with a product called Yonder, which is a pouch. You know, some schools have tried to put in special cell phone lockers or require kids to keep them in the locker. And it really is the studies show that bell-to-bell policy is what does work.
You know, Jack, could it end up that it's not legislation at all and it just ends up being up to individual districts on how they want to do it?
Well, and that's kind of what the governor proposed, is that there are guidelines, but there is a large measure of individual control, which I think was really important for school districts. And so that's why they have to have a policy. It has to have some of these broad guidelines, but the state is not defining that. So, you know, I think some kind of compromise that includes that makes sure districts have some discretion, but around a program that works, because if they're going to put the money in, if they're going to really tout this and push people to do it, they want it to be something that's based on the science.
Is there been much discussion or any answers as to what exactly that $15 million or, you know, maybe even more so now would be going to on this? I think a lot of people look at this and they say, well, all right, do you want to put a cell phone ban in school? Then you do that and then you tell everybody and it really shouldn't cost anything. But yet there's a lot of money put aside for it.
Well, sure. In my world, $13.5 million is an awful lot of money. But when you spread that out among all the schools of the state, it might not quite be so much. At the same time, I do think, to your point about earlier, about teachers are saying, don't do this, and oftentimes kids may be doing it anyway. That's why some schools have invested in these different kind of programs that actually have, you know, whether that is something that blocks radio signals, or, you know, phone signals or Wi-Fi in classrooms, whether it is, I mentioned earlier, some of the pouches. Some schools have experimented with a special, you know, locker where you lock it up at the beginning of the day and can pick it up at the end of the day. You know, a lot of parents, a lot of kids have invested a lot of hard-earned money in their phones and are reluctant to just leave it behind in a locker or in their own locker, which may not be as safe. So the idea is that some of that money is there to make sure they can institute a program that works.
Jack, what about the inflation rebate checks that the governor first mentioned, I think, in January? What's the status of that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, if you talk to individual legislators, this is the number one thing I've heard pushback on, especially from the Assembly and Senate. That said, when they got together to conference it, some of the pushback faded, or at least in the end results of the Assembly in their one house matched the governor's proposal. And what the Senate did is say, we're just going to take that money and give it to checks for people who are 65 and older. But we would have enough then to commit to a program for 65 and over for the next 3 years. So it really looks like there's broad agreement on doing something. Some questions about who will be eligible, whether that's all folks like the governor and the Assembly want or just seniors.
You know, Andrew Cuomo used to make a big deal about passing the budget on time. Ever since he's gone, I don't know, maybe not so much. What are we looking at in terms of when this could all happen?
Well, absolutely. Cuomo made a big deal out of that until his last couple of years in office when it didn't pass. But that has sort of faded as a metric, I think, even during his time, because it was, are we fighting about the date or are we fighting about what's in it? Last year's budget was 20 days late. You know, this year, April 1st is on a Tuesday. Just with the rhythms of the legislative and session calendars, I feel like unlikely that the legislature would ever get something done on a Tuesday. So maybe that first weekend in April is more realistic. You know, there were some budget meetings yesterday. The governor wasn't there, but the Speaker of the Assembly, the Majority Leader of the Senate, basically said, we're 98% in agreement here. There's just a couple things left to talk about. They're starting to have those conversations this week. Only disagreements, especially around the bigger disagreements around some things about discovery reform and kind of how that relates to criminal justice, as well as involuntary confinement of mentally ill people. Definitely a lot of pushback from the legislature on some of the governor's proposals there, that same criminal justice, public safety, individual rights friction that we've seen between the governor and the legislature. So hopefully close to on time.
Well, Jack, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate the update.